Greetings. Welcome to a new edition of Stardate Susitna. I'm Kathleen Fleming. Regular listeners have been hearing parts of archived shows this summer all about the August 21st solar eclipse, now just 2 weeks away. Today I'll be telling you what to expect. If that morning is clear in the upper Susitna Valley, you may want to take notes or listen again when the show is loaded onto the KTNA website this week. First, a brief reminder about how eclipses happen. All solar system bodies, except the Sun, shine by reflected light and have a shadow on the opposite side from the Sun. If a perfect alignment of Sun, Earth, and Moon happens at full moon, then the Moon moves through the Earth's big shadow, and half the globe gets to see a lunar eclipse. If there's a perfect alignment of the Sun, Moon, and Earth, the configuration at new moon, then the tip of the moon's shadow cone may just barely touch the Earth's surface, creating a narrow path of a total solar eclipse. Usually the alignment is not perfect at new and full moons, and no eclipse occurs. But the alignment could actually be close enough 2 to 3 times each year. And eclipses come in pairs, a solar and a lunar. So guess what? A partial lunar eclipse will be visible this Monday evening from the other side of the planet, Europe, Africa, Asia. Anyway, the geometry and exceptions gets complicated, so I'll just leave it there. I don't think it's even possible at this point for anyone paying attention to any news and information sources at all to not know that a total solar eclipse is coming. The Great American Eclipse will be on Monday, August 21st. The moon's shadow makes landfall on the Oregon coast and rushes at around 2,000 miles an hour across the continent to exit into the Atlantic off the coast of South Carolina, an hour and a half after landing in Oregon. The path of totality is only about 70 miles wide this time, and folks near the center line will be wowed by just 2 minutes or more of darkness at day. It's totality that gets almost all the attention. It is truly otherworldly. I've seen 5 total solar eclipses since 1998. It really is a heart-pounding rush. But a partial solar eclipse is definitely worth your attention if you can't manage the trip to totality. Here's info about what to expect and how to prepare to observe the crescent sun from right here in the upper Susitna Valley. First, hope for at least a relatively clear eastern sky Monday morning, August 21st. It would be a good idea to have your viewing site picked out before the 21st. Any clear morning, just check to see where the sun is between 8:30 and 10 o'clock. Be sure you have an unobstructed view. Then have a plan for watching the moon's progress across the sun. There are 3 basic safe viewing methods. The easiest is to have a safe filter to look through. No dark sunglasses, exposed film, a CD, none of these are safe. Don't take chances with your eyesight, really. A few different types of solar filters are made for telescopes, but for most people, the easiest is inexpensive eclipse shades or a number 14 welder's glass. I think that's usually used for arc welding. It's really dark. Lower numbered glass is not dark enough. I recently called around to see where number 14 glass might be purchased, and the places I called in the Matsu do not generally carry glass that dark. Well, eclipse shades are made out of a polymer with a metal coating. They block out 99.999% of the sun's light and radiation. You can safely stare at the sun through these filters. The supplier of eclipse shades that I've been using for 20 years is currently sold out, but I bought a few hundred several months ago and have made shades and info sheets available to purchase at KTNA. They are now well stocked. Just swing by the office on 2nd Street during office hours. It's just a happy coincidence that the sun and the moon appear to be the same size, about half a degree of arc in diameter, which is why a total solar eclipse can occur and why it doesn't last long. When you block out all the sun's glare, El Sol doesn't really look so big anymore. You'll need to have a sense of where the sun is, because when you put on the eclipse shades, you won't be able to see anything except the sun. And if you want to get a better view, you can put these shades on the front of a normal to small pair of binoculars. But let me tell you just how to do that. You will create serious eye damage if you do it wrong. So listen up. If you want to use binoculars, you have to attach, fix, carefully tape the eclipse glasses on the front of the binos over the objective lens between the sun and the binoculars. Make absolutely certain that the glasses cannot slip off. 100% of the light must be blocked or allowed to enter only through the filter. Use solid tape, duct tape, or electrical tape. Fix it on and leave it on. Buy more than one pair of eclipse shades if you wish. Just leave the bino set up for the whole 2-hour event. Really, there must be no possibility of unfiltered magnified sunlight reaching someone's eyeball. Okay, are you sufficiently warned? Good. For Talkeetna and immediate vicinity, the eclipse begins at 8:23 in some seconds. I think this is an especially exciting moment called first contact, when the leading edge of the moon first appears to touch the lower right limb of the sun. If the sky is clear and you want to witness this first contact, it is more satisfying to have some magnification. The partial eclipse begins subtly. Then the magnitude of the eclipse increases over the next 50-55 minutes until half of the sun is covered by the moon. Maximum eclipse in the Upper Susitna Valley is at 9:17 a.m. And then over the next hour, the crescent sun gets thicker and thicker again until fourth contact at 10:14, when the event is all over for Talkeetna. During this hour and 50 minutes or so, you'll have plenty of time to experiment with a variety of viewing methods and to share the experience with students, family, friends, and even strangers passing by. Two indirect ways to watch the progress of the moon across the sun are the projection method and the pinhole camera method. Info about these is included in the eclipse packets at KTNA. You can find out lots more and see diagrams online, but I'll try to describe some of these with just words, basically to intrigue you enough to do a bit of research yourself. If you have a pair of binos that you are not putting a filter on, you can hold them in such a way that sunlight enters the front objective lens and then lands on a smooth, light-colored surface. You will be projecting the image of the sun, and you can watch on the paper or cardboard the crescent change shape. One suggestion is putting the binoculars on a tripod, but you'll need to continually adjust to follow the west and upward progression of El Sol. You could block one of the lenses to get a single image. And to make the bright crescent more dramatic, you could block the sunlight around the binos with a piece of cardboard. It's a bit tricky to align the binos to the sun, but I've found that if I minimize the shadow along the barrels or tubes, then I'm close to holding the equipment so that the sun shines through onto the paper. Oh, and you'll want to do this off and on so that the interior of the binoculars don't get too hot. Please guard unfiltered binoculars so that uninformed people don't try to look directly at the sun through them. The pinhole camera method works on the principle that light passing through a small hole will be inverted but reveal the scene, like an, quote, old-fashioned camera. I haven't had much luck with an actual pinhole, but a nice, neat hole up to the diameter of a pencil or pen can be focused to reveal the sun's shape. This is really fun to experiment with. Get the kids involved. A colander with round holes works great, or a spatula. I've even used a tea egg. Try using a hole punch as far from the edge of the paper as you can to provide more shade around the bright crescent that shines through the hole. If you make a hole with a pencil, you may find that the edges are too ragged to work well. But play with the focus. Each item will need to be further or closer to the surface of the paper in order to get the most focused crescents. Take pictures of your results. You've got time. The sun will be about half covered by the moon for nearly half an hour, between 9 and 9:30 that morning. And here's a phenomena that gets a lot of attention: a myriad of crescents under broadleaf trees. It's not as typical up here, better with standalone trees with a wide crown, but anywhere there is dappled light beneath a tree, you will have a bunch of crescent suns instead. That's because the space between the leaves acts like a pinhole camera, and the shape of the sun is projected onto the ground. I know of people who had no idea a partial eclipse was happening, but walking along on the sidewalk, they noticed this peculiar phenomenon, a myriad of crescents instead of the normal dappled light beneath a tree. Very cool. Talkeetna gets almost 2 hours of partial eclipse. Folks who go to the Path of Totality will get an hour and a half or so of partial both before and after totality. It's a leisurely time, experimenting, taking photos. You can take pictures right through the number 14 welder's glass or the eclipse shades. Nice thing about digital, you can see the results and adjust your technique. Try to get it figured out before the maximum eclipse at 9:17 Monday morning. In a recent edition of Astronomy Magazine, they also say that looking at the sun's reflection off of water is safe. Not enough light and none of the other harmful radiation is reflected. So this is another viewing method I intend to try during the partial phase in Oregon. I know a few locals heading outside to be in the shadow, to feel the temperature drop, to hear the birds head to their nests, to see the sun's diaphanous atmosphere and Venus, Jupiter, Spica, and Orion in the middle of the day. I'd love to hear their stories and impressions and how it went with the traffic jams. Please let me know your personal partial or total eclipse experiences. Maybe I'll be able to put together an entire show of just interviews. Leave contact information at KTNA 733-1700. Sioux Valley High will have eclipse viewing opportunities for students and staff. Same with Talkeetna Elementary. Plus, they will be offering viewing through eclipse shades to the public. Ranger Laura will host observing opportunities at the Ranger Station from 9 to 9:30 Monday morning the 21st. I'll make sure they all have enough eclipse shades. And KTNA has packets for sale if you want your own shades and info. At 50% eclipse, you won't notice any difference in the quality of sunlight. That steely gray tint to the air generally starts when about 80% of the sun is covered. For comparison's sake, Ketchikan gets a 65% partial eclipse. First contact is at 8:14. And Barrow will see only a 22% eclipsed sun with the start time at 8:44. Also, there will be numerous sites that have live streaming that you can watch the morning of the 21st, and the Eclipse Mega Movie, collecting images from folks along the 2,500-mile path, will show the sun's corona and if it changes over the hour and a half it takes the shadow to cross the U.S. The Upper Susitna Valley is getting some astronomical twilight now, and I saw a couple first magnitude stars at 11:30 last night, some faint auroras at 2 a.m. a few nights ago, and coming up at the end of this week is the Great Sky Show, barely visible up here, the Perseid Meteor Shower. If it's clear and you can be up after midnight, lie with feet to the east and look up for shooting stars. Best on the 11th, 12th, or 13th of August. Okay, that's it. I'll be heading outside in a week. Might have another archive show about the eclipse. Exciting stuff. Have a great week and keep looking up. The sun is a new, the sun is a